Let's go before the Lord. Let's petition our real teacher. Heavenly Father, we do thank you that you have given us your Holy Spirit, that we might understand these things in your word and apply them to our lives. Lord, I thank you that your word is truth and that we can bank on it. We can stake our eternal security upon your word and the words that you have told us. You are above all things. You are the Creator God. You are the one who showers us with many blessings, that pours out your Holy Spirit upon us, that we might know you and understand your words. And Lord, that our lives would be transformed as we renew our mind by the reading of your word. I pray, Father, that we would not neglect so great a salvation, that we would always keep it in the forefront of our mind and how what great lengths you went to pull us from darkness into the light, to give us life, to make us spiritually alive so that we can enjoy the things of your word. Father, it is our desire, it is our heart's desire that we please you above all things. I pray, Father, that we would indeed just listen to that still small voice within us, and that the scriptures that we have studied and the things that we have put into our hearts and minds would just guide us in our day-to-day lives for your honor and for your glory, that no flesh would boast in your sight because it's all been done by you. We do love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Exodus chapter 19. As we are looking at this whole, the wonderful things that God has done. Now, Israel, I'm sure, did not even have a clue as to how the things were going to transpire. They had heard about a deliverer coming down and how they were going to be delivered from bondage. And the Lord made the bondage so difficult, so hard, that they cried out to the Lord to deliver us. And sometimes in our lives, we are facing great and heavy circumstances, such as we can't handle in ourselves. And when you get that, you can praise God because He's working on you. He wants you to come to the end of yourself and to cry out to Him, your only resource. Now, yeah, we may have money that we can throw at things, you know, if a problem arises, this happens, that happens, and, you know, okay, we've gotten that, and we can justify it kind of like, oh, well, the Lord has blessed me with a certain amount of money, and I've got some money in the bank, and I've got a good steady paycheck coming in, and, you know, but do we actually pray before we do things like that? Is it something that we petition the Lord for an answer for because we think we already have the answer? The resources that He's given us, we give that, we do that. When in actuality, He doesn't want us to use resources of our own. He wants to guide us. He wants to direct us. And I'm so thankful for Him in this past couple of weeks where He has used the Word that I have ingested, that I have studied, to guide me in a really heavy-duty temptation. And it wouldn't be seeming so much, but when you're going through it, it's the worst thing in the world. How many of you have gone through temptations and you look back on them and you say, wow, that's kind of like a no-brainer. But when the temptation keeps coming back and coming back, and every time you brush it off with the Word of God, it comes back with even greater intensity. This is the thing that the children of Israel showed us that was going to happen. We saw that as they were in the wilderness, Amalek came and attacked their rear. That was a heavy-duty thing. You know, they weren't prepared for battle. But Joshua was there, and he was rallying troops and went out against them and fought against them. But it took Moses and Aaron and Hur all together to make sure that they had the victory. Moses had to sit on a rock holding the rod of God up. And when the rod of God was in the air, they were winning. They were triumphant. But when the rod of God came down, Amalek and his people were triumphant. So he had people coming up against him, coming alongside to lift up his hands. And that's where we get that terminology. You know, coming alongside and lifting up the hands. That's what the fellowship is all about. The lifting up of one another so that, you know, they can make it through their trials, their tribulations, the things that they're going through, that dark time that they have. So if you don't have one, I suggest you get a couple of people that you can really confide in. Not that you need to detail everything out that you're going through, but just knowing that when you call or text or send an email to, that you know that they're going to lift you up in prayer. That's the encouragement of the believer. And when we come together, then we can say, how's that thing going? We don't have to announce it to the whole fellowship, but hey, how's that thing going? You texted me about that. How's the thing going? Is it still raging on? Because I'm still praying. I'm still there with you. I'm lifting up your hands. Man, what a confidence that is. What a wonderful thing to know that somebody else is giving up their time to lift you up. Man, that's... it don't get no better than that. Now, you can have billions of dollars in the bank if you so desire, but you know what? To have one person come alongside and give of their time to lift you up exclusively, man, that's greater wealth than you could possibly imagine. In the kingdom of God, that's more precious than silver or gold. So, they went through some trials and tribulations. Why? For our learning. The things that had been written before time were written for our learning. And now what we need to do is examine that which has been written before. All of those trials and temptations. You remember Jethro came after that. Not really a big deal, was it? Yeah, not really a big deal. He gave him some sound advice. He said, you know what? You're going to wear yourself out, Moses. You know, you're hearing everybody's cases and stuff like that, and you're giving them forth the word of God. Hey, and that's a good thing, but man, there's just too many people there. You need to divest yourself. You need to, you know, get people of honorable character to help you out in this. And then they'll bring the hard matters to you. Sounds like sage advice. Sounds like good advice, doesn't it? Except, where did it come from? It came from man, exactly. You always want your direction and your knowledge to come from the Lord and the Lord only. Yeah, people can pray for you. And people kind of, you know, offhand give you advice about things, which they know nothing about. Only God knows what it is that you're supposed to do. All through the scripture, we see that the Lord never works the same way twice. He's got all kinds of things to show himself strong. All kinds of situations that he can manipulate. Because he manipulated the circumstances to get you in there, and he wants to show himself strong to get you out. So that you will know, that you will know that you know that it was God himself that helped you out of the situation. That's what he wants to do. He wants to show himself strong. And so as we see in chapter 19, we started into it last week, but you know we're going to kind of go over it because it's part and parcel with the rest of the chapter, how the Lord called Moses up into the mount, which was a fulfillment of prophecy, if you remember, in chapter 3. One of the things that the Lord says, this is going to be a sign unto you that when you come again and worship on this mount, then you will know that I sent you. And we kind of chuckled at that, and we said, well, yeah, okay, that doesn't give me much confidence of getting there. You know, there's all kinds of things that could happen between A and B, but the Lord said that you would come again and worship upon this mount. And the people. And so Moses is there on the mount, looking down at all the people that had been there and realizing, this is a fulfillment of God's promise to me. He said that if I go down there, and that I'll make it back. It's a round trip. He's the God of the round trip. And so, Moses went up unto God, verse 3, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Who's doing the work here? God. I brought you here. I put down the Egyptians. I did these things. Now, is this a bragging kind of a thing? No, he wants you to know who did the work. Did Israel have anything to do with them being there at the mount? No. God supplied the water. God supplied the bread. God supplied the path through the sea. God supplied the plagues. Everything that was necessary to get them from Egypt into the wilderness at the Mount Sinai was all done and orchestrated by the Lord himself. Now, folks, I hate to break this to you. You may be in the position where you are now because you think of your great wisdom, because of your so great talent and personality. You may think that you're at the top of your game right now. But guess what? It was the Lord that put you there. It's the Lord that has you where He wants you to be. And so that's why I don't fear, because my job may be coming to an end. Because He's taken care of me this far. Do I think that He's going to drop me now? Well, I hope not. No, you know. But we say that, don't we? Well, I hope not. You know, I love the Lord and I know He's going to take care. But when we're facing the abyss, when we're facing that precipice where we're looking over and we're not seeing anything out there, that's when faith starts to come in. My favorite, you know, I know you may groan and do whatever, but my favorite application of faith, or, you know, what do you call it? Not application, but a testimony of what faith is. You ever see the Indiana Jones and the search for the Lost Grail, or whatever that was, or the Holy Grail, where he's standing by that precipice, and he's got to, by faith, know that he's going to be okay. I saw that the first time, man, and I got shivers. See, that's exactly what the Lord does for us. He puts that path out there, but He doesn't allow us to see it. And we have to make that step, that leap of faith, if you will. Just, okay, the Lord's got me. I may not see it, but the Lord has got me. I know that's a very bad, you know, I'm not really accustomed to putting secular things out there, but that particular thing that spoke to me, so forgive me for that. And you saw, verse 4, what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now, therefore, if. And we made a big thing of this last week. Now, therefore, if. This is a covenant that requires both parties to be involved in. Okay? And I kind of went over last, the if-then-else statement in programming. And it's true. If you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. Now this is the if-then. If you're obedient, then. But what if you're not obedient? What then? Then you're nothing. Then you really don't want the Lord. You see, that's what the voice of the Lord is all about, is to give us instruction. And how are we going to know what the instruction is going to be if we don't read it out of His Word? Because that's the only place in the world where He reveals His Word to us, His will to us. You want to know what the will of God is for your life? Read the Word. The Holy Spirit will guide you through these things. I have no problem at all with people that read the Word and come away with whatever the Holy Spirit reveals to them. I have no problem at all. The problem comes in when you start to take other people's opinions for what those words mean and what those words actually say. There's a lot of people with a lot of disinformation out there that want to trip you up in your walk with the Lord. Don't listen to them. The Holy Spirit's the one that teaches us. He's the one that leads us. He's the one that guides us. In your heart of hearts, when you're alone, when you're laying on your bed crying real tears because of the situation that you're in, who's the still small voice you think is going to talk to you? That author that you were reading the other day that tells you that God's not there, yet you have to do things on your own, that God helps only those that help themselves? Nonsense. It's not what the Word says at all. Trust what the Word of God says. And when that happens, man, you're going to know that it's Him and that He's got you. That's going to fill you with confidence. And then you're going to love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And you shall be unto me. This is another part of the promise of what you will become. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak to the children of Israel. Notice. The Lord gives baby steps. Notice the baby steps here. I want you to go, Moses. You came up the mountain. You were obedient to do so. Now I'm going to give you some instructions that you give the children of Israel. If you do this, then I will do that. You see? Then you will be to me a holy people, a holy nation, a kingdom of priests. The book of the Revelation, chapter 5, we see that, you know, the 24 elders sing that song, hey, thou hast made us a kingdom of priests. Have made us kings and priests. So the fulfillment of that is if you will hear my voice. Now, is this just a one-time thing? A lot of people think it is. They have the mentality that, well, I was called, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, and all's well and good. I came down the sawdust trail, I fell at the altar, and I cried real tears, and so, hey, I'm saved, I'm born again. The preacher told me so. Or whoever the worker was that came and prayed with you. Is that really the case? No. It says that if you continue in my word, now these are the words of Christ himself, if you continue in my word, then, another if then else, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. That makes him then the master. And then you are the servant. That puts you in the perspective that, hey, I'm not my own. I belong to somebody. I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's going to direct me wherever it is that he wants me to go. You know, so the problem being is that we have this, the sovereignty of man. We have this free will. We can do whatever we want. And that's why the Lord gives us these options. If. Whenever you see if in the scripture and the Lord is speaking, pay close attention to what's going on. If you will, then I will. You see? He promises. If you respond properly to the word, then I will, or you will be. I will make you. Basically, I will have you become that which you that I've promised you to be. Remember, the Holy Spirit is what gives us the ability or the power to become the sons of God. It's his continued working in our lives. It's the continuous flow of the Holy Spirit in our lives that makes the word alive to us. Is your Bible reading dry today? Is it unfruitful? Are you not hearing the word of God today? I have a great answer for that. Pray. Get on your face before God and pray that he would fill you with the Holy Spirit. And when you then read the word, it's going to be alive to you. And don't stop praying until it is. And when it is, continue to pray that it might be even more. The Lord says, you know what? The Father desires that you should bear fruit and that you should bear it more abundantly. And when you do bear fruit, he's going to prune that fruit. So why? You can bear more fruit. It's a continuing thing. If you planted a vineyard and you only got grapes 1 year and then it dried up and blew away, what is that? The vineyard is there to produce grapes all the time in its season. And so it is like with us. We produce the fruit in our lives according to God's plan and purpose for our lives. If we're dry, it means that we don't have the flowing of the water of the Spirit in our lives. The Word is dry to us because we've neglected prayer. Prayer is the key. We must be people of prayer because that tells God that, hey, I'm giving up my time to spend with you, to love you, to adore you. That's my thing to do. And that's what he's talking about here. If you will obey my voice. Okay, so, and we're going to get into his voice and the obeying, and we kind of touched on that and a little bit of detail when we looked at John 1, the Gospel of John, chapter 1. We kind of nailed that down, and if you were, you know, you're not familiar with it, go ahead and reread chapter 1 of the Gospel of John. And so, Moses came and called for the elders of the people. So, 80-year-old man goes up the hill. The Lord gives him a little bit of a word. He comes down the hill and he gives the word out. Now, you know, folks, if you just give out a single verse of Scripture to somebody, that's okay. That's good. The Holy Spirit can take the Word of God and water any heart that it happens to fall on. Any ear that hears the word of God, the Holy Spirit can be right there to water it, to make it plant, to make it grow, to make it blossom. Random scriptures. Scriptures that we read in our daily reading on Sunday morning. Whatever it is that you read, it may sound strange to you, but you know, as you're talking to somebody, all of a sudden a scripture will pop out of your mouth and you would be amazed at how much that scripture will fall in line with the conversation that you're having, as long as it's a godly conversation. as long as you're not tainted by taking on the attributes of the hearers that are not believers. And that's the things we have to guard against. Now, the people, you know, they said, yes. No. Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all the words which the Lord commanded. I love that. He laid it before their faces. Look at me. I'm going to give you some information. I want you to listen up. And the people answered together and said, all that the Lord hath spoken, we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. Now, you know, we kind of stop and say, well, you know, God, he's 80 years old at least. You know, I mean, God is kind of old. You know, he's, you know, you make him run up and down the hill all this time. You know, I mean, this is not a trivial thing, you know. You got to go up into the mountain and get the word from God and bring it back to the people. Well, that's just exactly what we do, isn't it? We go before the throne of God, the high and lofty one, the creator of the heavens and the earth, and he gives us the word, and we come down the hill into the valley, and we give it forth to those who need to hear it. It may be just a little bit. Baby steps. That's all it takes. We don't want to flood people that have no idea what's going on with all of this, you know, knowledge that we have, of all of the studies that we've done. So often people like to do that, you know, like to pour out all of the things that they've ever studied to people, and they start to go back, and then the scripture comes to mind, you know, the casting your pearls before swine. Mm-hmm. Give them enough that they can chew on, that the Holy Spirit can take. And you, and it's what happened with us. Somebody told us about the grace and the mercy of God that sent Jesus Christ down to take away our sin. And we believed it. And what was our response? All that the Lord has said, we will do. That's our heart. That's our heart's desire. Each and every morning, we should be getting up saying, Lord, all that you have spoken unto me, I will do. I will do. Now, can we fulfill that? Well, that's yet to be seen, isn't it? And we'll answer that as we go through in the next couple of months, as we look at the law. Who? The law. How many of you have heard that that there are people in the church that says that we don't need to be in the Old Testament, that they don't apply to us? Anybody? No? Oh, good. I'm glad to hear that. But that's what the word is going out today. People from, people of high stature in the church are saying, no, you know, that stuff isn't for us anymore. It's not. I would not want to go on record to say that there's anything in the Word of God that's not for you. Everything is for you, if it's used properly. And I'm getting into next week's lesson, but let's continue on here. Just something to think about. Oh, and while I'm thinking about it, I guess for next week, I want you to do some homework, and I want you to read Romans chapter 1-7. To get an idea of what it is that we're going to be tackling next week. This will give you, you know, a good idea of what Paul was talking about. And then when we get into the law, then you'll maybe understand a little bit better of its purpose. And so, all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken we will do. And Moses returned the words unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee, and believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. So, you know, it's like, well, Lord, you heard them, right? Do I have to really make this trip again? You know, yeah, you do. Every single day you need to go up to the mount and get the word of God for the people, for your family, for your children, for whomsoever the Lord brings into your path. And the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes, and be ready against the third day. For the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. Okay, third day, what's that mean? Resurrection. Resurrection. We are now on resurrection ground on the third day. Okay, but what is the children of Israel doing? They are preparing themselves. They're washing their clothes. They're getting themselves ready. Clothes signify righteousness. I'm going to clear myself of any sinful thoughts, any sinful deeds, and I'm going to set myself aside for meeting with the Lord. Now, lest we would think that this is a ritualistic kind of a thing, no, this is something that believers do every moment of every day. every moment of every day. We set ourselves apart for God's purpose. That's what sanctification means, setting ourselves aside. In verse 12, he says, "And thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, Take heed to yourselves, that ye go not up to the mount, nor touch the border of it. Whosoever toucheth the mount shall surely be put to death. There shall not a hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through. Whether it be by beast or man, it shall not live. When the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up to the mount." Now, what's the Lord doing here? Okay, he has the people coming up, and now he's setting boundaries. Don't touch the mount. You know what he's signifying here? The same thing that Jesus said. There is no other way to the Father but by me. The Lord has specified in his word how we are to come to the Lord. And if we try to come in some other way, we're like a thief and a robber. I don't have to go by the way of the cross. I can just live a good life. The Lord will cover all the rest, all of the other sins that I have. Wrong. Now here we see the heart of a loving father. How many of us as parents, or you know, if we've ever had to deal with children, you know, we'll be in the kitchen or something making something. You moms, you know what I'm talking about. The stove is on, it's hot, and the little baby comes up and goes to touch the stove. Now you have an option. You can warn the baby that if you touch that, it's going to be hot. You know, and you know what's going to happen? They're going to try to touch it anyway. So what do you have to do? You have to intervene. You have to set in motion, hey, there's a consequence for this action. Don't do that. You may have to raise your voice. You may have to do whatever it takes to get that child's attention, but you say, no, don't do that. Susie, don't touch that stove. It's hot. You're going to get burned. They may not know what burned means, but you've implanted that in their mind. Look, this is hot. This is going to harm you. This is going to hurt you. Little Johnny, don't take that fork and stick it into the wall socket. You're going to get shocked. I have to, you know, balance it out, Susie and Johnny. So, you know, because I don't want any leave out. Probably the boys are more susceptible to any of that stuff than the girls. But, you know, I'll let that alone. Now, I don't know how many of you have ever taken a bobby pin or something and stuck it in a light socket just to, you know, because of ignorance or whatever. I did that. So I'll just confess it. Yes, I did that. Don't be pointing fingers. But I said don't point fingers. Now I got to go and edit this. Where are we at now? Okay. Hopefully we'll be able to just brush that out. But you know, he warned them. Look, if you touch the mount, if you cross this barrier, if you touch it with your hand, you're going to be put to death. That's pretty heinous. That's pretty stringent there. So what's the Lord trying to say here? There is no other way unto the Father except as it's been prescribed in the Word. You do all things according to the Word, you're on home ground. You're safe. No problem. You start to think, well, I don't really have to go that way. Then Jesus died in vain. Jesus prayed 3 times in Gethsemane. If there's any other way for man to be saved, let's go that way. I don't want to go to the cross. Not my will, but thine be done. 3 times he prayed that. Now that if we're, you know, any kind of a Bible believer, we know that the Father and the Son had unbreakable communication the whole time he was here, except when he was on the cross. And then the Father turned his face away, and Jesus would cry from the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You see, he didn't want to have that broken fellowship. And we should be looking at this the same way. I don't want to have broken fellowship with the Lord. I want to have continual Holy Spirit flowing through my life power to be able to be pleasing unto God, that I might do His will. That's when we know we love God, when we think about our actions and weigh it against the Word of God. Thou shalt not steal, just for instance. How often do we have the temptation to take something that doesn't belong to us, even so minuscule as a paperclip from work, or you know, a sheet of paper, or this or that or the other thing? How often, and we don't even give it a second thought. Oh, it's just a piece of paper. They're not going to miss it. Now we're in the habit of breaking the law and justifying it. Dangerous place to be, folks. Oh, yeah, they run through my mind all the time. I'm going to tell you, I battle with that probably more than any other temptation. Why? Because the Lord is trying to teach me something here. Look, I love you, and I've given you all things. And if you want to take something that doesn't belong to me, you're telling the Lord, it ain't enough. It ain't enough. I want more. I want this. Maybe the Lord says, this is not going to be good for you. And it wouldn't be. To break the law, even in its minutest detail, means you've broken the whole law. You know, another thing that you might want to go through as we tackle chapter 20 is Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And then you'll get a good grasp of the law. So, get a lot of homework for next week. So, and Moses, verse 14, went down from the mount of the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said unto the people, be ready against the third day. Come not at your wives. This is the sanctification. I want you to be totally focused on meeting the Lord. I don't want anything of the flesh getting in the way. Okay? And it was just for those 3 days to do that. And so, again, those little minute things that the Lord asks you to do, are you going to do it? Are you going to say, okay, the Lord told me this. You confess to your wife or your husband, the Lord asked me to abstain from relations for a couple, 3 days as we pray about certain things. Perfectly okay. Paul talks about that. And as long as it's for a season, cool. But make sure that you're on board with it, that both partners are on board with it. Setting yourself aside, giving up the pleasures of the flesh to spend time with the Lord, uninterrupted. And you know how hard it is to be uninterrupted in your thought life. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the nether part of the mount. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. So if you want to compare chapter 4, verses 1 and 2 with this kind of a thing, you're going to see the same similarities that have happened, especially the trumpet. The trumpet was a call to worship. That's what it was. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake and God answered him by a voice. Lest you didn't hear it, folks, I'm going to keep blowing this thing and it's going to get louder and louder until you acknowledge, hey, this is from me. I am calling you. And sometimes the Lord does that. He calls us, and the call is so loud that we can't ignore it. And everything else falls by the wayside, and we're there in the presence of the Lord because we're in Jesus Christ. And sometimes the call is so faint because we have strayed so far, as if we were 100 miles away from the place where God wants to meet us. And that trumpet's going, and it's going louder and louder until it gets your attention. And the Holy Spirit draws you into that fellowship with the Father, because that's what He wants. That's the will of God for your life, that you have fellowship with Him. Plain and simple. That's it. That is it in a nutshell. I know I gave it away, but you know, I wanted you to find that out on your own. But you already knew this. I'm reasonably sure that you all knew that that was the will of God for your life. That you would be before the Lord and count Him as worthy of your praise and your worship, and give it to Him and Him alone, not shared with anybody. Exclusivity. That's what He wants with you. And when the voice of the trumpet... Oh, okay. And Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. All of Israel in the valley heard it. They heard all of these things. The mountain was quaking, the earthquakes, the lightnings, the thunders. All of these things were happening, and they heard this trumpet, and they heard the voice of God. If you will hear His voice, the Lord cries out to us. If you today will hear His voice. And the Lord said to Moses, go down, charge the people, lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. And you just kind of go, really? I just got up here, you know? I can see Moses, he's coming up the hill there, and he's, go down again? You know, I mean, that would have been a great comedy routine. Just, really? We got to go down again? But guess who strengthened Moses? It was the Lord that strengthened him. He gives our feet strength to make it up and down the places where He's called us to be. But, hey, I don't want you to have the people break through and gaze at me, lest they perish. These guys, they're, you know, who wouldn't want to see God? Seriously. Even Moses said, show me your glory. Hey, well, you can't see it and live. I don't care. Show it to me anyway. I don't want to live. I want to be with you. But the Lord has other plans for us. And as Paul would say, you know what? It is so much better for me to depart and be with the Lord. But it's more needful for you. I mean, I can almost hear it with a snide. It's more needful for you guys, because you're unruly and you're disobedient, that I need to be with you. I need to instruct you. So the Lord says, I got to stay. I don't want to stay. I want to be with the Lord. You see, He had the right mentality. He wanted to be with the Lord at any price. If it costs me my life, fine. As long as I get to be with you. Charge those people that they break not through unto the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. And let the priests also which come near to the Lord sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break forth upon them. Now, as I read this, I thought, you know what? That kind of doesn't make any sense, because the priesthood hadn't been established yet. Or had it? Did we not read a little earlier? If you will obey my voice, I will make you a kingdom of priests. So who is he referring to here? Those that would obey his voice. He spoke to them as it had already happened. He knew ahead of time who would accept and who would reject. All of those 20 years and upward perished in the wilderness because they did not believe. What? After all of this, you still don't believe? Are you out of your minds? But you see, it's not by sight that we live. It's by faith. It's by faith in the Word of God. It doesn't matter what you see. It doesn't matter, you know, if there were miracles happening, if fire got called down from heaven, is that something that you would believe? That this person was sent from God? No, because the beast, the Antichrist, is going to call down fire from heaven. The false prophet is in the sight of the beast. So that's no indication that they know God or that they're even from God. What is it that convinces us that someone is from God? The Word of God. They do not contradict the Word of God. Paul would say about the Bereans, hey, they were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they heard the word, good thing, but they searched the scriptures daily to prove whether these things were so. How often do we do that? How often do we see a meme on social media, or you know, somebody writes an email with this or that and the other, and we don't look it up. We just take it for face value because, well, I know this person. They're pretty right on in their belief. Danger. Stranger danger, folks. Always take whatever it is that you hear and whatever it is that you read to the Word of God to prove whether those things be so. Don't ever take anybody's word for it. Not mine. Not anybody's. Always look it up. Make sure that what's being taught, what's being said, is actually the Word of God in the proper context. So many people's salvation have been shipwrecked because they took scripture out of context and tried to make a point with it. No. We always need to go to the Word to prove whether these things be so. Diligent students. And Moses said unto the Lord, the people cannot come up to the Mount Sinai, for thou charged us, saying, set bounds about the mount and sanctify it. Set it apart for the Lord's use. And, well, sanctify means set apart, basically. I'm throwing in for the Lord's use because it's the Lord that said to do that. So. Away, the Lord said, get thee down, and thou shalt come up, thou and Aaron with thee. But let not the priests and the people break through to come up unto the Lord, lest he break forth upon them. So Moses went down unto the people and spake unto them. So, and this is the last time that he would come in there before God would reveal himself to them. And so, next week, as we get into chapter 20, hopefully we will, as a backdrop, have Romans 1 through 7 read, as well as Matthew 5, 6, and 7 read. And there's various other scriptures that I would suggest, but I think that's going to be a mouthful for anybody to be able to do and try to understand all of those things before we get into the giving of the law. Okay? Heavenly Father, we do just thank you so much for the love and the mercy that you show us. We do pray, Father, that your words would permeate our hearts and our lives, that we might obey you in all things, that Lord, we want to be pleasing to you. We want to love you with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength. And that requires obedience to what you have said. So, Father, we pray, have your way with us. Search us out and see if there be any wicked way in us. And drive it from us. We love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.